Welcome to the Flute View Radio. This is Viviana Guzman for thefluteview.com. Hello, everybody. My name is Viviana Guzman for the Flute View magazine. Today's special guest was the principal flutist of the Tianjin Symphony Orchestra in China, and she is currently the flute professor at El Centro Superior de Música de Galicia in Spain. Please help me welcome Elizabeth Frank.
What a pleasure to have you here, Elizabeth!
How wonderful to see you, Viviana. And everyone joining, hello.
And you have had quite a shift in your career. You were the principal flutist of the Tianjin Symphony Orchestra in China. You know, I've actually been to Tianjin. It's a beautiful part of China, right on the coast.
Yeah, it's a nice, it's a beautiful city. And I was there for 2 years, but it was time to say goodbye.
Time to say goodbye. And now I'm so impressed because you are not only teaching in Galicia, in the university there, but you are also studying at the university in Valencia. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's a nightmare for sure. It's been a nightmare. So it's kind of a busy year because yes, this year I was appointed flute professor at Centro Superior de Música de Galicia, which is in the north of Spain. And then at the same time, it's a long time that I wanted to keep chasing my studies. And although I was playing a lot, I was feeling I was missing a research part if I wanted to become a good professor. So I started this master's in musical research, which is a very fine course that given by the University of Valencia. And it's possible to do it online, which is of course perfect in my case, but I already looked at it when I was in China, but the problem of the timings, it was impossible because lessons normally at night here is from 8 to 10. Today I'm not skipping lessons. Today was free, I must say that. So if I was in China, it would mean doing my lessons at 3 in the morning, which was kind of impossible, let's say.
Yeah.
And I'm finding it like very interesting, very busy, I must say, because you have like 3-4 lessons per week. And I also asked to do it in 1 year instead of 2, because I don't know where I can be next year, so better do it in 1. But it means like, let's say 90% of my education this year is with this master in Valencia.
Wonderful. And you have a background in communications. Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, when I was, I don't come from a musical family, although my parents, both of them were always like classical music. And I must say, both my grandparents also had this background hobby, like one played violin, one played piano, but not seriously. So when I was 18, I always have to thank my parents for being very supportive. But of course, at some point they were totally lost. It's like, we have a musician in the family. What's that? My dad was economist, my mom lawyer, my brother, who's my older brother, he's like, he did international trading and business. So it was like, and she wants to play the flute. Okay. So when I was 18, I was very good. I like very much writing. That's also why I'm back to study now. So I wanted to pursue the journalist and all communications career. So I start with it. I did the first year, it was rather good with results. And then during second years, as I had to spend more time working on it, I was having less time on the flute. And I was seeing it was not what I wanted. So at that point, I speak again with my parents. Of course, at the first moment, they were like, we told you at 18 you were free to choose music and you say no, and now at 20 you say yes, you're already old, you have one career, you're gonna drop one career to start another one. So we had it easy because in Spain, where I wanted to study, it's in Escola Superior de Música de Catalunya, SMOC. There are only 2 posts each year for flute and around 30 people or 50 people that go for this audition. So I was like, okay, it's gonna be natural selection. Let's do this audition. If I get admitted, I choose fruit. If not, I continue, and in 2 years you have a journalist in the family, no problem, I'm fine with it. So we agreed this.
So you gave yourself 2 years?
No, 1 year, no, I decided that in December, and the audition was in June. So in half year, it's like, okay, I will prepare with that while doing my university. So like I was in university from 6 a.m. to midday, and then in the afternoon I would practice flute. And then I did the audition, and I got, I was one of the two admitted. So then I say, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna become journalist at the end.
Yeah, I think a lot of musicians when they're studying have this similar struggle. I know in my last interview with Emily Bynon, we had that a question come in from one of the audience members. And I had a similar thing in that I was pre-med before I was music.
And, well,
and then I got, happened to take an audition and I won the, I played in the Houston Grand Opera. So then, well, I thought, oh, then I should go into music and then maybe I should go to Juilliard. And then I told my parents, who were very, no, you have to study business at least or something, not just music. And I said, just give me until I'm 30 and then we'll see what happens. And so, but anyway, so that's why I thought.
I'm glad you didn't go to business and you stay on the flute.
No, but business of music is very important for the flute.
Yeah, that I agree.
Yes, yes. And I think communications is also good because I learned, I had a person, a neighbor, who asked me to work for her, a public relations office. And I learned a little bit about PR back then when I was studying at Juilliard. And so I used to part-time with her. So that's why I think having your background in communications has probably enhanced. You have a beautiful sense of visual, you know, of how to pose for the camera and all of that, which I think is part of the communication background, maybe. No?
Yeah, it's part, but also the other part, like of like writing and post, and you know, like keeping updated. Now that we're in this world, in this, you know, the 21st century, that it's all about social media, like all that you can do it yourself. I think it's very important that you know how to reach people, how to be more, let's say, more communicative, more to get more in touch. And in this way, I'm glad I did that. And as same as I'm glad that now, even if I'm old for that, I'm going back to study. But I think, why not? I mean, at the end, it's something we always need to do to grow ourselves and become better as we can.
And you're studying writing. What specifically in writing?
So now, I mean, it's depend of the topic we're doing. So like at the beginning we were starting, it was about anxiety. So we had to do like studies like about colleagues or like some, or about the specific book that we read that they suggest in bibliography. And then you do like, not just a brief story, but you have to give your opinion about those treatments, everything. So kind of psychologist even. And then it's also, we were talking about evolution and involution in music, which I find it very interesting. And I think I might put my final end of master thesis figure on that. So it's like, how interesting is, if we look at the story of music, how it's always an evolution. But even now in the 21st century, even in modern compositions, there's always this, I call this will, no, to go back, this kind of something inherent to music that we all always like to go back to the beginning or to the origin. So I'm thinking I'm gonna, but it's still, no, it's like next week we have the first meeting with the tutor who's gonna lead the project, and then it's like, okay, I need to start defining, but I'm thinking I will go this way.
Very good. Sounds beautiful. Sounds very exciting and interesting. We have a question here from Litus Mayol.
What is
Litus? Oh, somebody you know. What is the best What is the best part of moving nonstop around the world playing the flute?
So, well, it's that you get to know wonderful people like Viviana Guzman here, that this wouldn't be possible if I was not touring around the world with my flute. So the good thing is that you get in touch with many wonderful people, you visit wonderful places, and you get to wonderful halls. And it's like, it makes sense after all the hours and sacrifice, you know, playing at home and the living room, so that finally at the end you can share your art with people around the world.
And Litos also asks, what is the worst part of it?
That sometimes it's difficult to put a point, like, let's say, a place where you actually live. I mean, for the, to put an example, now I'm back home in Sant Cugat, which is a beautiful city next to Barcelona. And although I love this city because it's where I was born, I've been here a lot of years before I was like going out abroad to study. The thing is that I never know how long I will be staying here. And it's like, I don't know if it will even be my city at the end. So maybe a difficult part of this is that it's difficult that to put roots somewhere, let's say, until you are like very convinced, you have like a word that it's like, okay, I really want to stay here and I feel this is my place. But until you don't get reach that point, it's kind of a sacrifice. But I don't regret it at all, I have to say.
I always say that home is where I'm sleeping tonight.
That's a good one.
Because I'm always sleeping and all over the place. And, you know, I struggled with this as when I was young, because I came from Chile when I was younger, and I never knew if I was from Chilena or American. And I always had, but then in the end, I just ended up embracing the planet.
and that's the smartest option. I mean, I'm the same. It's like, I prefer not to put a home or not a fixed home, but then like being everywhere, which is, then it's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Elizabeth, or Bet, everyone calls you Bet, no?
Yeah.
Tell us about your upcoming recording project.
It's gonna come at some point. It was supposed to be released by the end of this year, but of course, because of the pandemic and the COVID and the thing that it's been done in distance, it's getting a bit delayed. But I want to say for good, because for what we're seeing, the material coming out, it's very good. So this came out after I won last year the 27th World Music Competition, which is a world music competition, as the name says, that every year takes place in a different country. So by chance, last year was in Spain, and by chance, because I'm not living in Spain, I was living in China at the time, it was between a concert I had in Barcelona and 2 free days I had in the middle before going to Switzerland to attend the Vegas Galway Flute Festival, where I think it's last time we saw. Actually, yeah, we met there last time. So in between, there was this competition. So first round was by recording.
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah, and then semi-final and final were there, but on those 2 days. So it was like, okay, I'll just send a video, and who knows, you know, it's difficult even to go to second round. And then they call me, it's like, yes, you're on second round. It was like, okay. And then they say, and your second round is the same day, the same time I was doing my concert in Barcelona. I was like, well, I have a problem. It's like, I cannot attend the semifinal because I have a concert. I can show, I can prove it. But it's like, I thought there were 2 days of semifinal. They say yes, but 1 day is for wins, and piano, the other day is for strings. So I was booked the previous day, and I was like, I can, but if you want the following day, and say, okay, so next day in the morning. So I did this huge concert in Barcelona, and next day I was waking up at 4 a.m., taking car, driving 3 hours to Valencia, and then arriving there, like kind of get dressed, get like calm down, doing the semi-final. And then in the evening, I had everything ready, with the car to go back to Barcelona, they say, oh, you're in the final, so tomorrow morning you have rehearsal with the orchestra, and in the evening you play Mozart concerto. And I was like, okay, we can do it. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. So then I did it, and well, together with two other persons, one of them flutist as well, Alexander Hastin.
Oh, yeah,
both,
yes.
Yeah, we both won the Grand Prix. We put it very difficult to the jury, so they couldn't choose. They say, okay, we give this Grand Prix to you, and also to a Russian baritone. And then after that, it was supposed that the prize we got, all of us, different concerts with different orchestras. Of course, they were canceled because of the COVID. But in my case, I also got the special prize of doing a recording in Vienna. So we did that in September, and now we're in this process of editing and having things done. But of course, since it's from the distance, it's difficult because it's everything goes much more slower, let's say. But
yeah,
it's gonna come out.
Yeah,
and I guess you want to know what's gonna be recorded on it, right?
Frank.
I had to do this. I'm sorry, I had to do this name because it's my favorite sonata, or one of my favorite sonatas, and I kind of share surname. So
yes,
I thought
yes.
It would be very funny to, very nice, very special to do this name. And then the other works that are completing the CD, it's Greek Sonata number 2, also for original for violin. And then Saint-Saëns Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso, to put something more,
fun.
You know, virtuoso style that they always like to put at some point. And then a very, very beautiful piece I didn't know, also by César Franck, very slow. This will be, we call it the bonus track, this will be the last one. And it's called Aimer, which means love, amar, which is originally for voice and piano. So we did this arrangement for flute and piano that we believe it works very good. And it means like nice sense for being a second album. I wanted to do something very different from Gypsy Airs.
Very so, nice. Sounds beautiful. So the bonus track is also by César Franck?
Yes, also César Franck. So like this, it also makes more sense that at least there are two pieces that are from Frank. Although like Sonata is half of the CD because it's almost half hour music.
Yes,
so.
It is. Long. It's a long one.
Well,
we look forward to getting it, to hearing it.
As soon as it is out. I mean, we started already shooting like the videos and photos for it. So it looks good, but of course we want to do it very good, so we're taking time to wait for the good moment that everything is in place. So that's why it's taking a little longer.
Very good. Well, we have another question, this time from Mr. Antipatia. And
mm-hmm.
He says, what are the aspects of the flute that you find, that you still find difficult? And what do you do to improve?
So all of them. If you want to keep in shape and like be ready at any time, it's difficult because you have to care for a tone, for a sound, let's say, then of course for technique, and then fingers, musicality. I mean, it's not an easy instrument. I mean, it seems easy to play, but it's not easy to play good, let's say. So you really need to care for nuances, for sound, having a good a tone. So it's a lot of things. So, and very interesting question, how to keep on it. So basically by doing like good warm-ups before starting to play, having a strict routine, let's say. So I like to, it's not that I know the whole week, but when I start playing, it's like every day we'll start doing some long notes, then some, of course, moise, it's like a must do every day. And then Tafanel Gobert, depending on the day and depending on what I'm playing, I choose one thing to warm up or another one. Then, of course, doing etudes, would all this warm up in practice before practicing your pieces? So that would be the ideal. I'm saying this, but I cannot do this every day. Sometimes when you have like, especially when I was in the orchestra where I had other things, so then you have to reduce it. But I think it's very important that before playing, to have this moment, I say this connection between you and the instrument, to make that, to see that progressively you become one. So then you cannot tell who is Viviana and who is flute.
Becoming one with the flute. How about, do you have any suggestions for faster fingers?
Yeah, my suggestion is practice slow.
Practice.
Yeah, practice and slow. I mean, many people ask, like, and a lot of my students, when they come to class, they play extremely fast. That, you know, I'm seeing before, it's like, they're not gonna make it to the end of the piece. And I say, slower, they keep going fast. And then, of course, they don't get to the next. I told you, slow. And they say, but you play fast. I say, I know, but believe me, to play this fast, I have played this same piece 4 times slower, 6 times slower, 8 times slower, because it's the moment that you put this connection between fingers and brain. And this is crucial. And if you practice fast, yeah, of course, if you have fingers, because now the people is the school of flute, let's say it's getting to a very high standards, and people has fingers, of course, but it's not about fingers, it's about this connection between brain and fingers, because especially when you're an audition or when you're at a recital or a concert, you have nerves in the middle, so that is something that you don't have when you practice. So this can interfere. Instead, if you have been practicing slow, that you make really strong this connection, then I believe you are much more sure when you go on stage, or you have more stability. Even if you get anxious, fingers and brain are on their place. So yeah, as Karin is saying now, slow practice is the most important. Yeah, I agree totally. And hi, Karin. Nice to see so many nice people around.
Yes. These are your fans.
Oh no, your fans. Flute View fans. I'm a fan. I'm your fan, and
I'm your fan. Bet, tell us. I want to go back to when you were playing in the orchestra and this very difficult decision of leaving a principal flute job to start teaching at a university. I mean, I went through that transition as well. And I'm just curious, I mean, for me, it was, I wanted more time for me because the orchestra keeps you so busy. And I just want to know why, what were some of the elements that made you decide this?
Well, the first one you pointed out, it's like when you're in an orchestra, you're kind of, it's beautiful. You have your, you can play all these beautiful symphonic pieces and everything, but you're in a cage in the sense that you are linked and attached to that orchestra. So if you are pursuing a solo career, this can be complicated. I mean, of course, it is. It's possible, but it's complicated. If you put the fact that my orchestra was in China, so in Asia, so if I had to come here for a concert, it was already one day traveling, plus then adapting jet lag, whatever. So every time that I was having a solo concert here, then I should be asking like for 10 days permit if I wanted to be well. So like one day to travel, a couple of days to adapt, and then rehearsal with the orchestra, concert, and going back. And it was like very fast for me, but it was already 10 days for them. So sometimes it was like, of course I understand them. They were very comprehensive, but sometimes they were like, no, sorry, it's too much. You cannot have this permit. You can go one day and back. It's like, that's impossible. I mean, I cannot do this. So that was one of the main reasons. Then of course, let's say China is very far, and I had been already for 4 years over there. First I was a co-principal in Suzhou Symphony Orchestra, which was close to Shanghai.
Which one was that? Which one?
Suzhou.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the beginning of how I went to China.
Ah, okay.
And then after that, I heard of this principal position in Tianjin, and then I changed to there. But of course, 4 years were already a lot. I was also a bit scared that I was kind of forgotten here in Europe. So I was thinking about it. And then at the same time, this proposal of professor in Galicia came. So it was like, and the CV. So it was like, well, it's a risk. And I have to say, we will see if it was a good decision. Maybe it wasn't. Because of course, when you have this stability, it's difficult to risk it and just jump to the pool without knowing if there's water or not inside. But I wanted to take the risk, and I thought it was now or never.
Yes.
Time will say.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's another thing that a lot of musicians face, you know, the security of playing in an orchestra and having a job or teaching, which can also be, if you end up in a very busy school, that can be quite a job.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And so, yeah, it's managing everything. And then our own desires. I don't know about you. I mean, it sounds like you just love to travel. And I certainly love to travel.
I do love to travel. And I do love, like, to concerts around. I mean, of course, now it's like a very difficult situation. And of course, it's going to happen. And we have to be patient with it. And that's something very important. So, like, for instance, the concert in Taiwan that we were saying next month, yesterday got cancelled.
Oh yes.
So it's not gonna happen. I mean, not it could have happened, but they were asking me that I had to go on quarantine in a hotel for 15 days, so closed in a room, not able to go even out for a walk, like putting foot on the door for 15 days. And it's like, look, it's the Taiwan National Concert Hall. It's like, it's a beautiful hall. It's like, you cannot be 15 days closed without doing any exercise in a room, like let's say like what, 10 meters, 5 square meters, and then go out and play in front of hundreds of people. It's like, it's mentally, it's not gonna be good. So I was very sad, but I say that I thought we should postpone it so they understood, and this is gonna happen later on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. My whole world got canceled this year.
Yeah, I mean, what I have to tell you, you're like the world traveler, the food traveler. You're everywhere, always.
Yeah, and I was hoping that my January, February, March concerts would stay intact, but they just got canceled too. So
until March.
March. Well, the last one was the first week of March. Yeah.
Mm. Well, let's hope with an arrival of a vaccine, things.
Yeah. Well, speaking of COVID, can you tell us something creative and wonderful that you've come up with because of COVID?
The first one, I finally did my webpage. It was a long time. People was like, please, Elizabeth, when are you going to have a webpage? We talk about you. It's like, yeah, webpage? No. She's everywhere on the net, but not on the web page. So they said, okay, I will take my time and do web page. So I contact the Nicole Ricardo media girls. And I asked them, it's like, okay, but I have time, so I can do it. And I know, as we were saying, I was in university in communication, so I knew a bit how to deal with it.
Yeah.
So they say, okay, look, we can make a template for you, like just organize, put the skeleton, and then you take your time. I was like, that's fine. So that's how I pulled up my new web page, and I put it in English, Spanish, and Catalan. So it took a long time to do that, which was good. Then I was doing a series of live streaming concerts here on Instagram.
I remember.
So, yeah, and I was encouraging people like to say, okay, what would you like? Or, like trying to guess the pieces. Then one day I would spring one opera and just play like the most, it would be like always like around 40 minutes, 1 hour maximum. So I would explain the opera and then like play all the parts. And I was finding it rewarding because on the one side, it was keeping me busy every day to prepare the next day. And then for the people, they were like, I was getting like beautiful messages like of people like, look, like life is difficult. We're close home, we're in lockdown. But every time at 7, it's like, oh, now it's bedtime. So
It
was
Yes.
something nice to do. And then it's when I thought about doing this master's and start working for the city. Of course, I mean, I was lucky in the sense that I had a lot of time to prepare for the recording.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, what do you have coming up? I know it's hard to plan anything, but
Okay, so Taiwan was canceled, but then by the end of January, I have a concert with the pianist with whom I recorded Frank Sonata. He himself is a composer. He's a Sony Classical and Steinway Sons artist. And you have to check that one. He has a beautiful flute sonata. He just posted a recording some days ago on his channel. I need to share that because it's a beautiful sonata. It's kind of a mix of Poulenc, Ravel. It's really beautiful. And it has three movements and it's very fun to play. Not easy. I mean, it's tricky. I mean, it's playable, but tricky, let's say, if you want to play nicely. And then we're doing this concert by the end of January. Also, at the beginning, I have to attend a book presentation that I've written part of it.
Oh, what book?
It's a Catalan book that it's called like In Lockdown. So there's a famous journalist here that asked 100 people to write how we live the lockdown. So amongst them, there's a president of the government, there's like famous actors, a medalist, a gold medalist from the Olympics. And he asked me as well, it's like, so how do you live the lockdown? So now he's presenting the book because he published under some benefits that go for cancer and other diseases. So all the books that are getting sold get this go, not for us, not for, but for disease and other people. And every time that he does the presentation, he invites three of the people or four that wrote the book, and it's like kind of like an official presentation. And I'm very happy because he asked me to go together with the president of the government. So now we're still finding the date. So this will be in Barcelona in January. And so it will be like kind of interview and then I'm also playing a little bit. And it's something I'm looking forward to as well. And then May 2021, I'm playing at Palau de la Música in Barcelona, which is a beautiful hall. So I'm playing a chamber music recital there, which I'm looking forward. And then of course in the middle it's a bit waiting when Frank Plays Frank comes out because after that it's all the mess of presenting and going around to do the concerts with it. But for now these things are happening.
Wonderful. Beautiful.
Not
And
bad.
how about where you're teaching? How many students do you have?
Well, this year it's a bit particular because it was the first year, and since we have this lockdown that I cannot actually move because I'm in Catalonia, so I cannot go out of Catalonia. I cannot go. It's a bit complicated. So this year it's basically going online, and I'm not taking students like regularly, not for this year, but I'm going time to time to do like a long weekend master class. And then if things get better, I'm planning to open the auditions by the end of this by June, and then start teaching regularly from next year. That's also why I wanted to do this master's, because if I do this research thing, I will be able to teach both bachelor and master's and all the levels. So that's important.
At least in the US, it depends on how much money. I mean, you get more money if you have a bigger, higher degree.
Well, also here, but the thing is, like here, it's also if you are teaching at university, you need to have a higher degree if you want to teach to the maximum level.
Wonderful. Well, Beth, can you offer any words of wisdom for a young flutist who's just starting out in this world?
I would say to be very positive, always, to love music, to love life. Don't be in a hurry. Start good and things will build up afterwards. It's a very long journey and it's not only as nice as it looks when you see this flute is coming out of play, playing this concerto, and you say, wow, I want to be that. You can be that, but it's, there's a huge sacrifice beneath, and you have to be aware of that. And if you realize it, you will see it's the most beautiful sacrifice you will always do in your life. Because personally, I wouldn't change it. And I know how hard it's to get to this level and to keep it, especially.
Yes.
I would encourage them. And also saying that it's true that now we're facing these difficult times, that for them it's terrible because not being able to teach or learn together, but only online, it's not the same. And of course, there's a lot of disappointment, general disappointment, let's say. But I say we professionals have this disappointment. I think for young generations, it's even harder because it's like they cut, they root to have how to keep going on or having no. We say no, you have to have faith. It's like yes, but how to have faith if they block them straight away? So it's like
yeah.
No, have faith, be positive. We're gonna go get to this sooner or later, but for sure we still need time. It's not something that it's gonna get solved now with the new year arriving. It's like it's gonna take still more time, but be patient, keep playing, and keep having faith because things are gonna go back as they were before. And then it will be the moment for them to shine. So it's important that now they're good with themselves. Count positive, because when that moment comes, it will be the moment like a flower to open and show to the world.
So have faith, stay positive, be patient.
Be patient. Love music and love the world. And love fruit, and love fruit.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Beth.
No, Viviana, I wish I could hug. I mean, it's
sending you. Sending you much love from California.
Sí,
and we'll do this again next week, but in Spanish, en español, para todos, toda la gente que no habla inglés.
Para toda la gente, la semana que viene en versión española.
Okay, adiós, chao.
Adiós,
bye
bye. Thank you, Viviana. Lots
bye
of love.
Bye bye, dear. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the Flute View podcast. Please give us a rating and leave a comment. The Flute View is sponsored by Flute World, Haynes Flutes, FluteHoot.com, and the University of California, Santa Cruz, where I teach. Please remember to subscribe for only $12.99 a year at TheFluteView.com.